This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good Monday morning to you. It is Sports Map Radio. It is Wake Up Call. Glad you're with us and glad you had a good Thanksgiving. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving weekend, a good holiday weekend. Well, we're kind of getting rolling back to normal now. The NFL has got a problem. It really does. It does not really have a cohesive COVID protocol. The Denver Broncos played yesterday against the New Orleans Saints in a game that they had an outside chance of making the postseason. And they had no quarterback because their quarterbacks were all in the COVID protocol reserve list because they screwed up. Jeff Driscoll was in a meeting. The other quarterbacks, Drew Locke, Brett Rippon, and Blake Bortles, all were in the meeting with Driscoll. And Driscoll then tested positive for COVID, so that meant the other three quarterbacks who weren't wearing a mask and weren't social distancing could not play in Sunday's game against the Broncos. So up comes Kendall Hinton, who was a wide receiver on their practice squad who played some quarterback at Wake Forest and played quarterback in high school. And he was not good, but I didn't expect him to be good. The NFL made Denver play this game. Now, if you're following along in this league, the Ravens have had an outbreak of the coronavirus affecting more than just the quarterback, but nevertheless, they've been having their games moved all over the place. They were supposed to play Thanksgiving night against the Pittsburgh Steelers. That game was moved to Sunday, and then they couldn't play Sunday, so now it's been moved to tomorrow night. That meant that the Cowboys game that they were going to be playing on Thursday has now been moved to Monday of next week. They're going to play Monday, kind of afternoonish. I think it's a 4 o'clock central time start for the Dallas Cowboys game against Baltimore. The NFL is moving teams all over the place, moving schedules based on COVID. I think this is a punishment that they did to Denver. I think the three quarterbacks that were in that meeting who did not wear masks and didn't social distance, who didn't show the kind of leadership that you want, I think the NFL said, well, this is on you. This is your problem. If you don't have a quarterback, that's on you. Your team should have been more due diligence on their COVID protocol. It's not a good look. We'll discuss this later, but we're going to get to the Week 12 games, including the matchup in Tampa between Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. They really showcased Mahomes and the Chiefs. We'll talk about that plus other games as we continue on Sports Map Radio.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you can be with us. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. Glad you can be back with us after the holiday weekend. Today, every home in America needs a reliable thermometer for twice-a-day temperature readings to protect your family with the Exergen Temporal Scanner. It's the only home thermometer used and recommended by hospitals, physicians, and clinics. A little programming note, if my voice cracks a few times, I feel like I'm getting a cold, which is dangerous this time of year because, you know, you're feeling it. But I felt like yesterday I was like, ugh, every now and then. So don't be shocked if that occurs.
Well, you know what? The good thing is, though, you can still just get a cold.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That is possible.
Yeah. So I don't feel like I'm worn out. I just feel like I'm getting a little phlegmy. And sometimes that may make my voice pop a little bit. And it may make me do this every now and then. So don't be shocked if that occurs.
You might go Peter Brady on us.
Yeah. I was doing some updates last night. I had to redo a couple because I was like, and I was like, oh, this isn't good. I get that every like maybe two or three times a year where that occurs. And I go, eh. So yesterday, as they brought up yesterday at the top of the hour, the Broncos, I think, got screwed by this league. The league wants to get as many of these games in as possible. We know that. They don't want to shuffle around the schedule. They don't want to be playing games all days of the week because it does throw everything off. But they're trying to get as many of them in. And the Broncos screwed up. Let's be honest. The Broncos screwed up. The players screwed up. The players that were in that quarterback meeting, Locke, Bortles, and Brett Rippon, should have worn a mask and should have been socially distanced from Jeff Driscoll who later tested positive for COVID-19 and then destroying the roster of quarterbacks that the Broncos had. Kendall Hinton, who I brought up before, the Wake Forest kid who played quarterback there, but he switched positions. He became a wide receiver his senior year and was the leading receiver for the Demon Deacons. And that's where he went. That's where he was going to the pro level. He was asked 24 hours before to play quarterback for this Broncos team that only used 10% of its playbook because he never practiced with the team. He never practiced playing quarterback. So they basically were running wildcat plays and simple screen passes. He was 1 for 9 for 13 yards in a game that wasn't affected by snow, rain, wind, or anything like that. It might go down as the worst performance by a quarterback under normal conditions in NFL history, but it's not his fault. And I feel bad for him because he was thrown into an awful situation that if I'm the NFL, I may have to rethink this. The NFL, I think, was punishing the Broncos, and I think punishing them hard for this because of how those players treated the COVID protocols within its organization. Yes, they should have worn masks. Yes, they should have stayed 6 feet apart. Nobody knew who had what, who was getting the virus, who may have had the virus. And so the Broncos were, they basically had to give up a game. They basically gave up a game. Instead of forfeiting it, they played it without any chance of winning. No chance of winning. You need a quarterback to win the game. You're not going to win running the football. You need to throw it occasionally. And the New Orleans Saints just completely played Kendall Hinton as if he was never going to beat them deep. He was never going to throw the big pass. They knew he couldn't do that, so they just contained the run. And they did. They kept the Broncos to 100 yards rushing, 3 and outs all game, intercepted them twice, and the Saints rolled to a 31-3 victory. This is not a competitive game, and it's unfair to the Broncos and to everybody else in the NFC and in the AFC. And here's why. In golf, there's a term called protect the field. And I use this a lot, but it's a perfect example. If Ron and I are playing a PGA tournament or any tournament for that matter, and it's a stroke play event with a number of players across the golf course, if I'm 5-10 shots off the lead and Ron is competing for the top spot, right? He's competing for positioning. And I see Ron ground his club in the bunker as he's going for a shot. Even though I'm 10, 12, 13 shots off the lead and it doesn't affect me at all, I have an obligation to protect the field. I have an obligation to call that out. I have an obligation to protect the leaders who may not be on my hole, but maybe 3 holes behind, 2 holes ahead, wherever they may be. That's the way the NFL needs to view these games, even during COVID. You have to protect the field. The Broncos were 4-6 going into this game. Now, that's an outside chance of making the playoffs, but it is a chance to make the playoffs. That's not out of it. And to give this game away because there's no quarterback, and don't give me the good old college try. That kid had no chance with no practice reps of playing an NFL game. And if he did, that says a lot about playing quarterback in the NFL, which we know is A, the most important position in all of sports, and B, the hardest position in all of sports. If this kid can be a wide receiver on a practice squad and throw for 375 yards and 4 touchdowns, that was a miracle. An absolute miracle. Nobody expected it. Nobody thought he would do any good, and he didn't. The Broncos lost, and they lost this game from the second the game started. It's unfair to the Buccaneers, who are in a race for the NFC South with the Saints. It is unfair to the seeding of the NFC, because the Saints now are 9-2. They are the number one team in the conference. It's unfair to the Packers, who are 8-3. It's unfair to who may ever come out of the NFC West because Seattle tonight playing Philadelphia could be 8-3. It's unfair to the Raiders, right? Because, I mean, it's not unfair to the Raiders. It's unfair to Denver, but it's unfair to teams who are vying for positioning. Overall, this was a mistake by the league. They should have postponed this game. And if you want to punish the Broncos, take away draft picks. Find them. Find the players. Do something. Find the organization. Pull draft picks. That's a very good way to punish an organization. They hate that. They really, really hate that. And pull a good one, too. Make them forfeit a third-round pick. Make them forfeit a second-round pick. You punish them that way. Don't punish them by forcing the players to play a game and affect the overall records of not only the Saints and the Broncos in a game that was unwinnable for Denver, but affecting how the playoff picture may look for not only Denver, but also for the NFC. Again, I understand the league. They're hammering this home. They absolutely are driving this into these organizations' heads. You are going to wear a mask. You are going to abide by our protocols. You are not going rogue on us. But there are other ways to affect an organization. Fine them $1 million for all I care. But you cannot send a football team out on the field without a quarterback in the National Football League. And you cannot say these games are on the up and up. And you can't do it when you have gambling partnerships. You can't do it with any of that. You've got to say, look, this is unfortunate, and we're very angry at Denver. Very angry at Denver. But unfortunately, we are going to have to wait to see where these tests go. If two quarterbacks test negative, then we'll play the game on Tuesday. So the New Orleans Saints, stay inside your hotel. Yeah, I'm sure it ticked the league off. I'm sure it really, really bothered the league. But this was an unfair outcome. Now, I know the Broncos had an outside chance of making the playoffs. I know it's hard. But the league can't, and look, and the Saints probably would have won this game anyway, but if you're the league, you can't make that judgment. You know any given Sunday. You know of playing in Denver in the mile high altitude affects teams in different ways. You cannot predict an outcome and then just say, well, you were going to lose anyway, so it doesn't really matter. That's not how the league should operate, and I don't think they do operate. This simply was, and they were angry at the Broncos organization and those three guys. Four guys, if you want to put Driscoll in the mix there. But it was absolutely a travesty for the competitive nature of this league. Let me make this clear, because this is something we deal with when it comes to steroids, when it came to Pete Rose gambling, when it came the competitiveness of these games, whether it's baseball, basketball, football, whatever, is what propels our interest. Right? We are emotionally attached to these games because we have a feeling for the city, or we have a feeling for whyever we root for these teams at all, right? I mean, I just attached on to the Steelers and been a fan of theirs for 40 years. You may be a fan of somebody else because it's your hometown, whatever the reason. But we have an emotional attachment to these games, but it's all predicated on the idea that they are being set up to be as competitive as possible. Now, I know what you're saying, right? Look, if Locke and Bortles and Rippon and Driscoll had all gotten in an SUV Friday night before the game, and they got into a car accident where nobody got hurt, and nobody got seriously hurt, but enough to not make them all play, and they were out carousing around Denver at 2 o'clock in the morning, yeah, then the league would say, well, that's your problem. But COVID is different. It's a virus. It shouldn't be treated one way for one team and one way for another. They're moving heaven and earth for the Ravens because their organization got infected because one guy and the strength and conditioning coach didn't wear a mask and didn't social distance. So they're moving heaven and earth for the Ravens. We saw them move heaven and earth for the Titans. We've seen them move it for other teams. And now we're looking at Denver going, yeah, and you got to be punished, you lousy football team. And now you got to play the Saints with no quarterback. It was embarrassing. It was embarrassing for this league. You can be angry, you can be bitter, but you can still do the right thing. You can punish in other ways, and you can still do the right thing for the competitiveness. Because in the end, you not only punished the Denver Broncos organization, as I mentioned in the NFC, you punished all those teams that are fighting with the Saints for something, whether it's for the division, seeding, or whatnot. Now, the Saints, again, probably would have won that game, but that's not what the league should be doing. All right, other outcomes, and we'll get to these coming up, as the Pittsburgh Steelers will play Baltimore on Tuesday night. We've got the Eagles hosting Seattle tonight for Monday Night Football. The Kansas City Chiefs did something yesterday that makes me very, very nervous. We'll talk about the Chiefs game against Tampa Bay, and is Tom Brady having fun now? Plus, we'll look at the playoff picture as it's getting more and more interesting as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver Here's Tony D.
Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and see their selection. The professional parts people help you find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will install your wiper blades free of charge. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So, programming note, we're going to do top five, bottom five Wednesday because the Steelers play Baltimore Tuesday night. And I have to see if the Steelers can just keep pace with the COVID-ridden Baltimore Ravens, because what I saw from Kansas City has me very, very, very nervous about the Steelers' chances of getting the Super Bowl.
I wouldn't be so worried about the Ravens anymore.
But I wouldn't be worried about the Ravens.
But I'd be concerned about the possible AFC Championship game that right now I would say Steelers don't have a chance in.
See, there are times where I go, you know what? The Steelers have got a really good defense. They might be able to get into this game with Kansas City when I see Kansas City getting close games against Carolina or the Raiders, right? Where I go, well, maybe the Steelers could have a puncher's chance. And then I see this game yesterday. Now, the Buccaneers scored 2 fourth quarter touchdowns and made it close, but in reality, it wasn't, because the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes could have thrown for 900 yards yesterday.
Yeah.
If he wanted to. I know the Buccaneers upped the pressure, but Mahomes would have figured it out. He finished with 462. Much of that was in the first half. Much of that was in the first quarter.
All of it was
right?
First half.
I mean, Tyreek Hill had over 200 yards receiving in the first quarter of the game. Now, look, I love playing the if we can keep this up game, right? Like, I love that.
He would have gone for 800 receiving yards.
He would have gone 800 receiving yards. And I was kind of hoping he would.
So was I. Why not just go for it sometimes, right?
Sometimes I wish these NFL teams just had a college football mentality. And I'm like, fine, we'll put up 80. All right, here's the deal, right? You all want to see us win, we're going to put up 80 points. They never do.
Why can't they go with the mentality of like, you know what? We're on pace to break a record. Let's do it.
Let's just keep throwing and throwing and throwing.
See what happens.
Let's get them angry at us. They don't want to shake our hands out of the game. We don't care.
Tom Brady will go pout.
He'll go pout and cry. Now, listen, we talked about Brady, right? Let's go to Tampa. Let's have fun. Let's get away from this coach in New England and winning. And then there was that stretch. Yeah. Then there was a stretch where they were 6-2.
We were like, wow, Brady's doing it.
And he's smiling and he's having a good time and he's down in Florida like every other retiree.
And we're all talking about how he found the fountain of youth.
Yeah.
Because he's slinging the ball everywhere.
NFC Offensive Player of the Month in October.
Yes.
How fun is it now to lose 3 out of your last 4 games and have your coach call you out publicly?
Time after time.
Missing guys and throwing interceptions. And it doesn't seem so fun now, does it? 7-5. Man, this league is dangerous. Anytime you get success, it's only a few weeks from turning into a nightmare. Now, they've got Falcons twice on their schedule who just beat the Raiders by a lot, but... And they got the Vikings and Lions remaining in their final 4 games here, but my goodness,
they did not look good at all.
Not at all. I mean, again, besides those 2 late touchdowns, they were getting killed. I mean, killed. And that defense was supposed to be better. Remember, like, it wasn't just Brady. That defense is strong. Whew. I know they're missing a couple guys, I guess, but still, Kansas City put a whooping on them. I mean, it was 27-24, and I know it was tight. I get it. Don't get me wrong. I get it. But it didn't take me much to go, all right, this game's finished. I mean, it was 20-7 at halftime, and you just felt like Kansas City could just put on 50 points if they wanted.
And don't you get the feeling that's what they're doing? Like, they all of a sudden, you know, they just get out to this lead, and then they just go into cruise control.
And why do they do this?
And I don't know if they're saving some for later on, or maybe...
Savings. Yeah, we could just keep pouring it on. Show people, living bejesus out of everybody.
Is Andy Reid, like, is he trying to keep it
keeping
close
the playbook
betters?
Down? Yeah, maybe that's it. But the Steelers unbeaten at 10-0 play again Tuesday. Kansas City, oh my God, did they look great. I mean, like, this is my biggest worry. Everybody asks me, how great is it for the Steelers, huh? Oh, man, you must be excited. No, I'm not excited, because you go 10-0 and you have a chance to go 15-1, or you should go to the Super Bowl. But it's hard to go to the Super Bowl when the Kansas City Chiefs are doing what they're doing. It was like that with the Patriots. The Patriots were like that for 20 years. No matter, Patriots would like sting, get stung a few games, right? Oh, look, Patriots aren't as good as we think they are. Yeah, right. Then they get to the playoffs and they barrel through everybody and go to the Super Bowl. It's the same thing here. The Steelers are going to have a great year. Ben Roethlisberger is going to be fantastic. And they're going to play Kansas City somewhere. And it's going to be not very fun for the Steelers. I don't want to say it's a blowout because the Steelers' defense is pretty decent. But Kansas City was great. I mean, absolutely great. And look, it was. I got two games yesterday. I got Denver against the Saints. And again, I was curious to see what the Broncos would look like without a quarterback. And I got this one. And I got this one. And this one was, I wanted to settle in for a good game. I wanted to see the Brady Mahomes thing, the old versus the new, et cetera, all the little narratives that everybody was promoting. But I wanted to see what Tampa Bay was going to do and how they were going to respond. They had lost 2 of 3 going into the game. And look, that division was starting to get away from them because the Saints were going to beat Denver and they needed to keep pace a little bit. And they didn't. And now it doesn't look like Tom Brady's having a very good time there whatsoever. So again, it's like I said earlier, I think it was tough for the NFL to make that call on the Broncos because it gave the Saints their 8th win in a row now.
Oh, it just gave them a forfeit win without actually forfeiting. With that,
I know.
You know, so they could satisfy the paid TV commercials. And
oh, by the way, here's a little tip for all of you out there. When your team is playing another team that has COVID and you want to get on your team's message boards or Facebook pages and scream for a forfeit, that's never going to happen. There will be no forfeits in this league. You know why? Because both teams don't get paid when there's a forfeit. Both teams. So if you didn't do anything wrong, and somehow you're playing the Bengals, and the Bengals get COVID all the way through the organization, and the NFL goes, yep, we're canceling the game. Way to go, Cincinnati. You don't get paid either. So that's a collective bargained agreement. And the players will not allow that whatsoever. Look, and not everybody's making $1 million a year in this league. Those guys need those checks. And not everybody has a long career in this league. Some guys are 3 and out, and that's it. They're getting their money as much as they possibly can. They're getting that $600,000 paycheck for playing the game or $300,000 paycheck for playing the game. So they're not forfeiting. They'll find a way to play it, but they're not forfeiting. But nevertheless, it does make me wonder exactly how the league is treating some teams without the others. I mentioned the Atlanta Falcons. They beat the Raiders 46-6, and the Raiders go to 6-5. It doesn't hurt the Raiders' playoff chances per se. They got to win some more games, but it doesn't hurt. I mean, it doesn't help. I mean, to go into Atlanta, a team that doesn't beat winning records. I mean, they just don't beat teams with winning records. And the Raiders are playing good. Remember, they had that game against Kansas City until the Chiefs marched down the field with less than 2 minutes remaining. They looked abysmal. They turned the ball over 5 times. Derek Carr threw a pick 6. They were held to just 2 field goals. Atlanta scored at will, and they were out. They were without Julio Jones and Todd Gurley. How is this crappy Falcons team winning a game against the Raiders without 2 of their offensive stars? That made no sense whatsoever.
And I mean, dominantly.
Dominating that game. I mean just dominating that
game.
It
wasn't like, oh, they won on a last-second field goal. It was
43-6.
What Raiders team was that?
Exactly.
That's definitely not the Raiders team that beat the Chiefs. I mean, if you think about that, that is bizarre to me. That the only loss the Chiefs have is against this Raiders team that just got annihilated by a coachless Falcons team.
Talk about a team that, like, you knew the deal going into this game, right? Like, we can't afford to lose a lot more here in this AFC playoff race. And then they drop one to the Atlanta Falcons, who are just closing out the year under an interim head coach. Buffalo beat the Chargers for the first time since 2008. They go to 8-3, 27-17. Cole Beasley had a nice little touchdown pass. But you know who was the most impressive guy in this game? It actually occurred for the Chargers. Joey Bosa was great.
Yeah, he was.
He was great in this game. Sweetness.
Yeah. Just need a head coach.
Just need a head coach. Got a quarterback. Just need a good head coach. It's time for Anthony Lynn to go. And there's no shame in that.
No.
Did your job, but that's it.
I mean, I was a big fan of Anthony Lynn before, and now after watching the last couple of Chargers games and really, you know, taking the hey, I love my head coach goggles off.
Right.
Because I think I might have been blinded by the light and just seeing what this team is doing and seeing some of the play calling, especially there at the end of the game.
Yeah.
I didn't really understand that.
But it's still the same thing we've seen all year.
It is.
All right, we'll get to more games from Sunday, including, what it means for the playoff picture as we continue. If you want to get in on Twitter, you can at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. Spell Ron with 2 N's, please. We continue. It is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And again, as we continue along, thanks for joining us on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Hey, The Athletic's got a great deal for you. Great website to get you the sports that matter to you. The Athletic, with full-time local writers there dedicated to your teams, providing breaking news, in-depth analysis, and exclusive stories you can't find anywhere else. Great site. National names as well. Stuart Mandel, Robert Mays, David Aldridge, Ken Rosenthal, Lindsey Jones. If you're looking for a fantasy football edge, or whether your NBA team's got a long-term positive outlook, The Athletic's got the sports coverage you need. So here's the deal. Subscribe today for The Athletic's best deal of the year. Between Black Friday and December 4th, new subscribers can get 12 months of The Athletic for just $1 a month at theathletic.com/Black Friday Radio. Cancel anytime. Again, for The Athletic's best deal of the year, it's $1 a month for 12 months. Visit theathletic.com/Black Friday Radio. It is fantastic. Highly recommended. Great, great site. Again, you hear me say it all the time. I check it like four or five times a day. I love it. Absolutely love it. All right, as we continue to look at week 12 of the National Football League, guess who's in first place in the NFC East?
The New York Football Giants.
The New York Football Giants are in first place in the NFC East. They beat Cincinnati, a Joe Burrow-less Cincinnati Bengals team, 19-17. Daniel Jones did leave the game with a hamstring injury, but nevertheless, they're 4-7. And because they own the tiebreaker with two wins over Washington, right now, they lead the division. The Eagles play Seattle tonight. If the Eagles do win that game, they would actually take it over by a half game. So thanks to the crazy tie. The Tennessee Titans, what a game for them yesterday. Holy cow. They go to 8-3 and now lead the Colts by a game in the division. Derrick Henry was magnificent again, but here was the cool thing about Derrick Henry. He did most of it in the first half, almost all of it in the first half, which is not really Henry's style. He likes to sort of wear you out and then run all over you when you're exhausted in the second half. 178 yards rushing and three touchdowns. They are a team. I'm serious. The Titans are a team that is like, dare you to stop this. Find a way to stop this, and you can beat us. There you go. Derrick Henry. I keep saying this about Phillip Rivers, and it is true. I mean, the Colts are having a good season at 7-4. But every time I watch the Colts, I don't see Phillip Rivers doing something so amazing and so much better that puts the Colts on this level. It just seems like replacing, like, Jacoby Brissett was their quarterback. Phillip Rivers gives you a more veteran presence, but he doesn't do anything so eye-poppingly awesome that makes you go, okay, the Colts have really found their guy. You almost get the feeling like Jacoby Brissett could get this team to 7-4 as well. Their defense is really good. If Brissett doesn't make mistakes, they'd win plenty of football games. But the Titans now lead that division by a game, and Henry was magnificent. This is going to be interesting as we get closer and closer to the playoffs. How healthy Henry stays and how effective he's going to be in the postseason. Because this is a team that will beat you throwing the football too a little bit. Not as much. I mean, they're not Patrick Mahomes good, but Tannehill can throw the ball a little bit. Had a nice pass to AJ Brown, who scored twice, once on a reception and the other on a kickoff return. And the Titans, again, with their, one of their best offensive outputs of, in the history of the organization, 45-26 over the Colts. But one of my disappointing games this weekend, Arizona.
Yep.
Okay, I know the Patriots are still sneaky good, Belichick good, but Arizona, you got to win some games here. You got to keep it up. We've been on your bandwagon for a while. It was so fun when you were 5-2. Now you've lost three of the last four, losing to the Dolphins, the Seahawks on the road, no problem with that. But my question is, Kyler Murray, is he starting to show parts of his injured shoulder that's affecting him? Because this didn't look like a good game for him at all. I mean, they got some work to do here. Look, they're already a game behind in the standings. Seattle, if they win tonight, will have a one-game lead. Don't mess around with this. I know there's an extra playoff team, but don't mess around here. You still got the Rams on your schedule. The Rams twice on your schedule. Don't mess around by losing the teams you should beat. That's a game they should have beat. Nick Folk kicks a field goal. The Patriots win. And now New England is one of those teams at 5-6 that could, they're not done. I mean, look, this league, you're not really done. I mean, if you're the Jets, you're done. If you're the Bengals, you're done. If you're Jacksonville, you're done. Maybe the Chargers, you're done. But everybody else, you can still make a run at this thing. You know, it's not quite over yet. I mean, think about this. If the Baltimore Ravens lose to the Steelers on Tuesday night, they're 6-5. I mean, that's playing in the sand, in the same sandbox as all these other teams. They got a legitimate shot at three spots. You got Miami in there. You got Cleveland in there. You'll have Indianapolis in there as of right now. You'll have the Raiders in there as of right now. And then you've got the Patriots at 5-6. You're like kind of on the outside of the sandbox, but you're still playing in it. So you don't, you know, again, if you're Arizona, figure out what's wrong with Kyler Murray, because this has been a weird trend for them that looked so good. Their win against Seattle at home, they dominated the Cowboys, beat Buffalo on that Hail Murray. Things were looking bright and up for this team. They were very competitive in an extremely tough division. But these are back-to-back losses, and the Rams game is no joke. Los Angeles might be the, you know, the quietest, best 7-4 team in the league. So I worry a little bit about Murray's shoulder, because this could seriously affect their opportunity to go to the playoffs. Speaking of the Dolphins, they easily beat the Jets, no problem. But Tua Tagovailoa, I guess he's hurt, because they went with Ryan Fitzpatrick the whole game. I mean,
you would think that'd be a little bit bigger news, right?
Right. Well, here was the thing. He had this left thumb injury, but during the week, Brian Flores, who's probably playing a little bit of gamesmanship, right, was saying he'd be fine, and then like the weekend began, and then he was downgraded. He went to doubtful. So he went from, nah, he'll be all right, to, nah, he's not going to play. And then Ryan Fitzpatrick played, and again, they easily beat the Jets, no trouble. Jets were at a field goal. They're terrible. And now the Dolphins are 7-4. Look, you got games coming up against Kansas City, on the road against the Raiders, and you've got the Bills, and a Patriots team that might have enough to play for. And again, Belichick sneaky good. If I'm Brian Flores, do I end the Tua experiment and just tell Ryan Fitzpatrick, look, get us to the postseason? We're 7-4. We're not going to be the team that puts all our eggs in the basket of growing a quarterback. We'll grow him at another time. But right now, go get him, Cowboy. Go get him, Veteran. Go get him, Amish Rifle. Go out there and take over and get us to the postseason. Because you owe it to this team to go to the postseason. And if Tua is dealing with a confidence and thumb injury, you can't lose to Kansas City, Patriots, Las Vegas, and Buffalo to close out the season and make the postseason, make the playoffs. You'll beat the Bengals, but you may not win again the rest of the way. Every single one of those games is going to be tough, including the Patriots. So I think you do that if you're Brian Flores. I don't think you mess around here. I think you stay with Fitzpatrick, and two is the franchise. I get it. And albeit for me to not tell the Dolphins how they should look to the future of their organization. But can you imagine being a veteran offensive lineman or a defensive lineman, and you're like, I got a chance to go to the playoffs. I got a chance to go to the postseason, make myself a little bit more money, put myself in a interesting, like if I play well and every, you know, coming out of that and my contract's up or I'm a free agent or whatever it may be. And
especially coming in a division where that's even more of a reality than it has been in the past.
Right, exactly.
Because the Bills are good, but you don't have, you know, you're not dealing with two teams.
Yeah, and let's be honest, we're not talking about the Dolphins squeaking in here at 7-4. Like, if they win a number of games, they could be one of the top wild card team coming out of it.
Yes.
I mean, look, the Colts are 7-4. I mean, the Browns are 8-3. But, I mean, it's not like you're the Patriots at 5-6 needing some help. Like, you're the Dolphins. Win some games, you're going to make the postseason. But if you give it to Tua and he's dealing with a thumb injury and the idea that his coach will pull him at any second, you might want to just stick with the veteran and go, let's just see how this plays out for the next five games or whatever it is left. Right? I mean, that's easy. That's what you, I think, easily something you got to do.
No, I mean, the Dolphins, I mean, they have a tough schedule.
It is tough. Those final four games are really hard.
But, you know, not impossible.
No.
I mean, they should win next week. They're playing against, you know, Joe Burrow of Cincinnati, but then, yeah, they have no chance against Kansas City.
No chance against Kansas City. They got to play the Patriots at home, which, you know, they've always found a way to beat the Patriots with Brady at home. So, I mean, this should be winnable. Raiders are doable, but that's going to still be tough. You never know what Raider team will show up. And then they got to go to Buffalo in January, which is probably going to be 8 feet of snow.
That'll be fun.
That'd be great.
I'm sure Miami people are used to 8 feet of snow.
They would love it. They would love it. So,
I want to see Tua in that game.
Right. Me too. Let's
if
play
you're
two
in
that
it,
game.
If you're out of it, I don't care. Put Tua in for that game. I want to see what the Island Boy does in 8 feet of snow.
I'm in. I am all in on that. So last night, how long did you stay with Bears Packers last night?
First snap.
Yeah, not long.
Because, I mean, that game was over before it started, it felt like.
Nope, it was very over before it started. The Bears went back to Mitch Trubisky. Good for them as they figure out where they're going next year. Thanks for playing, Chicago Bears, at 5-6. It's fun when you were 5-1. Now they've lost four straight.
But they were 5-0, right?
No, they were 5-1. They were 3-0. They lost to the Colts, and then they were 5-1. Yeah. But we were wondering, like, listen, 5-1, we playing with house money here, or are we fool's gold? And everyone said fool's gold. They're going to come back down to earth, and they did.
We were all right.
And Rodgers threw four touchdown passes and lit them up. It was funny. Tony Dungy said something in the fourth quarter, which I thought was interesting. He said, look, okay, so you're Matt Nagy. You say to Mitch Trubisky here, we're not winning this game, but I need you to put together some touchdown drives. And he did. He did. He said two touchdown drives in the fourth quarter. I thought that was good insight from Tony Dungy from a coach's perspective. What do you do when you're losing 41-10 in the fourth quarter? You know you're not going to win, but you need to start seeing something. And Dungy's coaching insight was, this is what you would say. You would say, look, go out there. Don't worry about the score. Don't just get me some touchdown drives. Let's move the football. Let's move down the field and see what you can do. And he put him on two touchdown drives. Whether or not the Packers were, I don't know, just playing loose or whatever, I don't know. But it was good insight from Dungy last night. He was doing the game with Mike Tirico. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. We roll along. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue with Wake Up Calls. Sports Map Radio on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. Make sure you spell it with two N's. As we continue to look at Week 12 of the NFL, two more games left in the books. You've got Eagles and Seahawks tonight from the Link. The Eagles at 3-6-1. You got to need that win, Philadelphia, to stay on top of the NFC East. They'll be falling back with the Cowboys. With the Giants and Washington on top of the division right now. And the Seahawks at 7-3 need a win to stay on top of the NFC West. And a loss would put them in a tie with the Rams. And then you've got the Steelers-Ravens finally Tuesday night. The Steelers at 10-0 and the Ravens at 6-4. Baltimore ripped with COVID and been delayed. This game has been moved twice to get to Tuesday. Thanksgiving Day to Sunday. Supposed to be the big Sunday game in the afternoon, and then it was moved to Tuesday. And that's still going to be on NBC? Yeah, because that's why Allen Collinsworth weren't on the game last night.
Yeah, they're holed up in Pittsburgh, right?
Right, so they were supposed to be on the broadcast yesterday, and then they went, nah, we'll play Tuesday. In fact, I have an idea, NFL. Why don't you just call the Ravens and ask them when they're ready to play? Just pick a date.
Yeah.
Just ask them, when are you ready?
Next Tuesday?
Yeah,
next that work fine. For everyone.
How about that? You want
push it off
just
a week?
Just give us a call, and let us know when you want to play. So, I am glad. Listen, I want the best of both worlds. I'm a guy that wants all the games to be played. I don't want any cancellations like college football, but I do want the competitive nature of the NFL to still be intact. Like I don't necessarily want to wait till Lamar Jackson is healthy. Like I don't want to go down that road. But if he is, he is, and if the Ravens are part of this COVID situation, if it helps the Steelers, it helps the Steelers. But I don't want what happened in Denver. I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested you finding players on your practice squad to fill in key situations.
Who was interested in that? I mean, that was
terrible. Bad for the league. It's terrible for the league. Look, college football at least is saying to these schools, look, if you can't put together a team with scholarship athletes, we're going to cancel the game. Now, the college football is okay with canceling games. The NFL doesn't want to cancel any games. They want to play them all, but at different times. So they're going to move them around, play on Tuesday, They'll play Wednesday if they have to. They'll move a game to the weekend. You know, they'll move a game that is a Thursday to the weekend. Whatever they have to do. I get that. Then they should. It would be nice if the NFL got all 16 games in, a full 17 weeks. I would, you know, I've said many times, if they have to do that 18th week thing where they have to make up some games during that 18th week, then do that. That's fine. I think we were all adjusting to sports and COVID the best way we possibly can. But if you tell a football team, an NFL professional team, sorry that that COVID has wiped out your entire quarterback stable, but too bad, go find somebody and go play it. That's not going to be cool. And here's the thing. The Broncos were selling that kid's jersey in the pro shop. I'd sell it out. I hope it sells out. I hope Bronco fans buy that kid's jersey. And, you know, I mean, it's $100 or whatever it is. But still, he played, he did his best. He's not even a quarterback. He played quarterback in high school and in college before realizing he was a receiver. He was going to be best suited to be a wide receiver at the next level. That's what he's been gearing his mindset towards. And the Broncos call him up and go, yeah, did you play a little quarterback in college? Yes. Great. Guess who's calling signals for us tomorrow?
You're up.
Oh, really? I guess I don't really know the full... Don't worry. We'll dumb it down. It'll be easy. 10% of it. You'll just be running the ball mostly. Sure. I'll just jump in and go do that. It's amazing. Kaepernick must have been shaking his head in disbelief, right?
Yeah. But that was the other thing, too. They couldn't sign anyone.
They couldn't sign anybody. They couldn't bring in anybody to play. They're stuck with whoever. It's ridiculous.